The crowd stood shoulder to shoulder inside Wembley Arena on a warm night in June 2015. Spotlights swept across banners that promised a new financial age. On stage, Ruja Ignatova walked out in a glittering gown and held a microphone with calm confidence. She told thousands of people that they were early believers in a currency that would shake the old banking world. Cheers rose with every phrase she delivered. What the audience did not know was that investigators would later question every claim made on that stage. Hidden behind the bright lights were early warnings from regulators, unanswered concerns from analysts, and internal documents that pointed to a system that did not match its public message. Prosecutors would eventually say that the currency had never existed in the way she described. 2 years later, as global losses mounted and international warrants were prepared, Ruja Ignatova vanished. Her last confirmed steps became the start of a new mystery. What began as a promise of financial liberation turned into one of the most sweeping fraud investigations of the decade. Chapter 1: The Rise of a Promised Revolution. The house lights dimmed inside Wembley Arena in June 2015. A low hum moved through the air as thousands of people waited in their seats. Many of them had traveled from different parts of Europe to see a woman they believed was reshaping the future. Promotional screens glowed with the bright colors of a digital coin. The words promised a new chapter in global finance. When Ruja Ignatova walked onto the stage, the audience erupted into applause. She wore a sparkling evening gown that caught the light with each movement. Her hair was styled in a way that made her recognizable even from the back rows. She smiled as she took the microphone. She said the world was changing and that banks were losing their grip on the financial system. She said there was a moment in history when ordinary people could take control. She told them they were standing inside that moment. Many in the crowd held their phones high to capture the scene. They believed they were witnessing the early rise of a technology that would lift them into a new economic class. Ignatova spoke with confidence about a currency that would grow in value as adoption increased. She explained that a new digital coin would replace outdated banking models. Her voice stayed steady and firm as she announced that OneCoin was poised to become the number one cryptocurrency in the world. The screens behind her displayed rapid numbers and projected growth charts. They appeared to show steady increases in value and a rising global network. Ignatova pointed to the images and said the coin would soon be listed on major exchanges. She told the audience they were early believers. She said those who trusted the vision would experience the greatest rewards. As the arena lights brightened, the moment felt electric. It was the kind of conference that made people believe they were entering a rare financial opportunity. The crowd cheered when Ignatova ended her speech with a promise that OneCoin would change lives. She thanked them and walked off stage while the music rose to fill the room. Behind the excitement, questions were already forming among analysts and regulators in different parts of the world. They had begun monitoring the company as early as the previous year. They noticed that OneCoin did not resemble other cryptocurrencies on the market. While Bitcoin operated on a transparent blockchain that anyone could review, OneCoin used a private system that no independent expert had been allowed to inspect. Despite this, recruitment events continued to grow in size and ambition. To understand how the company reached such heights, investigators later reviewed the life of Ruja Ignatova. She was born in Bulgaria and raised in Germany. She attended respected universities and earned advanced degrees. Her academic background helped build an image of authority. She spoke several languages and presented herself as a visionary leader who understood both technology and finance. Her resume included work at consulting firms and involvement in different business ventures. Some ventures drew scrutiny. German court records later showed that she had been involved in an insolvency case before the launch of OneCoin. Yet these details rarely appeared at the recruitment events. When she spoke to crowds, she focused on her credentials and her belief that cryptocurrency could give financial power to anyone who joined early. In late 2014, Ignatova and her co-founders launched OneCoin. They announced a digital currency that could be mined through a proprietary process. Unlike Bitcoin, mining did not involve open algorithms or global validation. Instead, new coins appeared inside user accounts after they purchased education packages. These packages ranged from modest starter levels to high-priced tiers. Buyers received training materials, videos, and access to token accounts that could later convert into OneCoin. Recruitment played a central role in the company's growth. Members earned commissions by bringing in new buyers. Many explained that the sales structure motivated people to hold events in hotels, conference halls, and community centers. At these events, presenters gave speeches about a coming financial shift. They said OneCoin was more stable than Bitcoin. They said banks feared it. They said it would soon reach a value that would change the lives of early adopters. By early 2015, OneCoin had spread across Europe and Asia. The company opened offices in Sofia and other cities. Crowds grew larger as Ignatova appeared in more public events. She built an image of a leader who understood global markets. Many investors said they trusted her because she seemed confident and well-educated. They believed her claim that OneCoin had a real blockchain that could not be manipulated. They believed that the mining servers were protected and operated by a sophisticated technical team. Inside the headquarters, employees prepared new promotional materials and training modules. The company organized international tours where top recruiters received awards on stage. Videos from those events showed people celebrating their achievements and speaking about financial freedom. They described the joy of helping others join the movement. Many said they felt part of something historic. Investigators later reviewed these public claims. They found that several authorities had issued early warnings about the company. Financial regulators in different countries questioned the structure of the business. They said it looked more like an investment scheme than a cryptocurrency. They noted that OneCoin did not allow independent verification of its blockchain. They said the coin's value appeared to be assigned by the company rather than determined by market activity. OneCoin responded by saying the warnings were the result of misunderstanding. They said traditional financial institutions were threatened by new technology. They continued holding events around the world to promote growth. Recruiters told crowds that critics did not understand the technical features of the coin. They encouraged members to stay loyal to the vision. Inside the company, executives worked to present OneCoin as a global financial product. They released videos showing computer graphics that appeared to represent mining operations. They edited promotional clips that explained how blocks were processed. Investigators later said these videos did not reflect real technical infrastructure. They concluded that no independent verification had ever shown the existence of a functioning blockchain. Around this time, journalists began asking questions. Some contacted former employees who described concerns about how the company operated. Others attempted to examine the software, but found no access. A few reporters tried to attend recruitment events. They described rooms filled with new investors eager to join the movement. They noted that many attendees had limited understanding of cryptocurrency. They said people placed trust in the bright presentations and confident messages. The growth of OneCoin continued despite rising concerns. By 2015, the company claimed millions of users. Large conferences were held in Europe, Asia, and Latin America. Many people believed they were participating in the next major financial breakthrough. They told friends and family members about the opportunity. They encouraged them to buy education packages and tokens. They said the value of OneCoin would rise as the global user base expanded. Inside certain regulatory agencies, analysts examined financial statements linked to the company. They looked at the flow of funds and the structure of commissions. They reviewed documents that described mining operations. Some analysts reported that the information did not match known models of cryptocurrency. They said the system did not appear to generate coins through a verifiable mining process. They added that users had no way to check the authenticity of their balances. Meanwhile, inside OneCoin's offices, staff prepared statements that defended the company. They said their model was unique. They said competitors were threatened by their expansion. They continued to plan large events and new product launches. Employees described nonstop activity as they worked to meet rising demand. They said Ignatova was seen as a powerful and intelligent leader. They said she inspired confidence every time she walked into a room. One of the central features promoted by the company was a scheduled public listing. Ignatova told crowds that OneCoin would appear on major exchanges. She said the listing would create new wealth for members who held coins. Investigators later found no evidence that such a listing had ever been arranged. They concluded that the value of OneCoin came from internal decisions rather than external markets. Throughout 2015, recruitment intensified. Videos showed crowds cheering at events where top performers received cars, jewelry, and recognition. Many investors said these celebrations made them believe in the company's strength. They said the excitement in the room felt like proof of success. Investigators reviewing footage later said these scenes reflected growth in recruitment rather than growth in real technological capacity. Journalists working on deeper stories spoke with analysts who reviewed the claims made by OneCoin. Some analysts said the company used language that sounded technical but lacked transparency. They pointed out that no open ledger existed. They said there was no independent mechanism to confirm transactions. They questioned how the company could announce predictable growth in value despite market volatility. These questions rarely reached the audiences inside conference halls. When concerns did appear, presenters assured people that everything was secure. They said the company was strong and expanding. They said the best strategy was to stay committed and bring in more members. In late 2015, the first major international investigations began to take shape. Authorities in several countries gathered complaints from buyers who could not withdraw funds. Others reported confusion about how to convert tokens into real currency. Investigators interviewed individuals who expressed frustration when promised features did not appear. Inside OneCoin offices, staff members prepared responses to new inquiries. They organized documents and drafted messages that presented the company as compliant with regulations. They prepared talking points that emphasized growth and community. They worked to maintain stability as questions grew louder. By early 2016, the tension between public enthusiasm and official concern had widened. Crowds continued to attend events and sign up for packages. Regulators continued to issue warnings. Investigators compiled early reports that pointed to fundamental problems inside the structure of OneCoin. These reports did not yet reach the public in full. The company still held a strong image of success. Everything in this period built toward a central question that investigators continued to ask. If the currency worked as the company claimed, why had no expert confirmed the existence of a functioning blockchain? This question guided many early inquiries. It shaped interviews, document requests, and the first draft of investigative timelines. Inside conference halls, Ignatova continued to appear before cheering audiences. She spoke with the same confidence she had displayed at Wembley Arena. She told crowds, "The future belonged to those who believed." She said OneCoin would change the world. Many people believed her because the movement felt unstoppable. As 2016 approached, the stage was set for the next phase of the story. The crowds were still cheering. The recruitment structure was still expanding. But the questions raised by regulators, analysts, and journalists had begun to form a pattern. Investigators were preparing for a closer look. They would soon gather evidence that pointed to a very different picture of OneCoin than the one displayed inside arenas and conference halls. The first cracks in the public image were forming. The global expansion continued, yet doubts were rising. Behind every bright event, behind every confident speech, behind every projection of future value, there was a growing uncertainty that could not be ignored. Chapter 2, The System That Fed on Momentum, 2,000 words. By early 2016, the growth of OneCoin had reached a level that drew the attention of investigators in many countries. Complaints from buyers had increased, and regulators issued clearer warnings. Yet, recruitment continued at a steady pace. People joined because friends and relatives told them the returns were guaranteed. Others joined because events were coordinated to create a sense of urgency. They believed they were missing out on a rare chance. At this stage, investigators began collecting profiles of the people who invested. There were young professionals who hoped to pay off debt. There were parents trying to secure a better future for their children. There were retirees who believed the coin would support them in old age. Many lived in Europe and Asia. Others came from the Caribbean and the United States. They said they trusted the impressive events, the confident speeches, and the message that they were entering a new financial class. Investigators reviewed promotional materials that described potential gains. They said buyers who purchased higher education packages would receive more tokens, which the company said could convert to OneCoin at scheduled points. The packages were ranked in tiers. The most expensive tiers promised larger mining allocations and higher potential returns. Recruiters used these tiers to motivate buyers to move up. They said those who purchased early would benefit when OneCoin reached its next milestone. Financial experts studying the system said the structure depended heavily on recruitment. They said buyers earned commissions by bringing in others. They noted that the company offered bonuses for reaching certain ranks. OneCoin called these ranks educational achievements. Investigators said they functioned as incentives for sales teams. They concluded that the recruitment model helped drive rapid expansion. Inside the company, internal documents showed detailed commission charts. These charts explained how much money members could earn from new sales. Investigators noted that the figures resembled known patterns in high-pressure schemes. They said individuals at the top benefited the most. They found that members often encouraged friends and relatives to join before they had fully understood the product. Some insiders later cooperated with authorities. They said the company internally set the coin's value and changed it when it suited promotional needs. They described instructions that told staff how to explain price increases. They said the numbers shown during events were created inside the company. They added that mining results were produced on internal systems rather than through an open ledger. These accounts matched the early findings of forensic analysts. Analysts reviewed software records and financial data seized during investigations. They did not find evidence of a public blockchain. Instead, they found systems that logged token balances on centralized servers. Analysts said the numbers could be altered at any time. They said this differed from true cryptocurrencies, which required independent verification of transactions. Victims who joined during this period said the promotional materials convinced them the coin had real value. Many said they saw charts that showed predictable growth. Others said they were told they could convert their coins later for large gains. They explained that recruiters often presented themselves as mentors. They felt encouraged to bring in new people to share the opportunity. Some said they believed the company would soon open its own exchange, which they thought would unlock huge profits. Investigators gathered documents that showed the scale of the revenue generated by selling education packages. They examined bank transfers connected to the company and its affiliates. They found that most revenue came from the sale of packages rather than any real trading activity. They noted that the education materials offered inside the packages were often basic. They found that many packages repeated the same content with minor adjustments. Financial examiners built models to understand how the money moved. They traced funds through accounts in different countries. They reviewed statements that showed large sums collected in short periods of time. They said the inflow depended on constant recruitment. They added that withdrawals or redemptions were restricted. They observed that the system relied on continual purchases rather than real market growth. During this period, OneCoin held more international events. These events featured speakers who presented themselves as leaders in financial education. They said the company was developing new technology. They said the value of OneCoin would continue to rise. They pointed to charts that showed steady upward movement. Investigators who reviewed those charts later said the numbers did not reflect real trading or independent valuation. Whistleblowers told authorities that many of the public claims were scripted. They described meetings where staff discussed how to present growth to the public. They said employees were told to project confidence, even when internal concerns surfaced. They described an environment where questioning decisions was discouraged. They said the message was always that the company was strong and expanding. As more people invested, the number of warnings from regulators increased. Authorities in several countries said the business model resembled a fraudulent investment scheme. They asked buyers to be cautious. they noted that the company did not provide required financial disclosures. They said there was no evidence of a functioning blockchain. They added that the recruitment structure created risk for buyers. Despite these warnings, OneCoin continued to attract new members. Many investors said they did not see the warnings until much later. Others said they trusted local recruiters more than official statements. They explained that recruiters often spoke with passion. They said these recruiters were people they knew personally. Investigators said this trust made the system more effective because it spread through social networks rather than traditional advertising. Experts analyzing the company's system noted that OneCoin had a feature called splits. A split increased the number of tokens held by members and was presented as a reward for loyalty. Analysts said splits were a way to encourage people to buy more packages. They said the splits did not reflect real market behavior. They found no evidence that the increased supply was supported by outside demand. Throughout 2016, pressure increased on OneCoin. Investigators gathered statements from victims who felt misled. They said they were unable to convert tokens into real currency. Some said they were told to wait until the company launched its exchange. Others said they were encouraged to buy additional packages to unlock greater value. Investigators found this pattern repeated across many regions. Inside OneCoin headquarters, staff continued to work on promotional materials. They organized large events that featured bright visuals and elaborate staging. They created videos that described upcoming milestones. They said the company would release new products that would strengthen the ecosystem. Investigators said these announcements helped maintain enthusiasm among members, even when doubts grew. Analysts reviewed internal documents that showed how the company communicated with its top recruiters. They found messages praising high sales and encouraging further expansion. They found instructions that explained how to respond to concerns about blockchain transparency. They observed a pattern of reassurance that emphasized loyalty and long-term vision. During this time, investigative journalists continued their work. They interviewed victims who felt trapped in the system. Some said they had borrowed money to buy packages. Others said they had encouraged family members to join and now felt responsible for their losses. Reporters also attempted to speak with company representatives. They said responses were limited and focused on claims of innovation. Forensic experts studied the internal software used by OneCoin. They concluded that the coin values displayed to members were not tied to real trading. They said the numbers increased in predictable increments. They found that the company controlled all aspects of the ledger. They noted that members could not independently verify any transaction. This confirmed earlier concerns raised by regulators. The more analysts learned, the clearer the pattern became. The system relied on constant recruitment. Growth came from new buyers. People believed in the product because the company created an image of innovation and progress. Events were staged to reinforce confidence. Recruitment materials were designed to create urgency. Promises were made that depended on future milestones. Investigators said the milestones were not backed by real technological development. National regulators increased their efforts during the second half of 2016. They issued public alerts. They warned citizens about the risks. Some countries opened formal investigations. Others prohibited the sale of OneCoin packages. Despite this, the company continued to operate in many regions. Recruitment events still drew large audiences. People said they attended because they trusted the leaders in their local networks. By late 2016, investigators had gathered enough evidence to understand the internal structure of the company. They saw how revenue moved. They studied communications among staff. They reviewed spreadsheets that displayed token values. They said these spreadsheets showed values that rose according to preset schedules. They found no evidence of outside market activity. They concluded that the numbers were controlled internally. Whistleblowers provided additional details. They said they saw presentations that instructed staff how to speak about growth. They said employees were told to explain delays in exchange development by saying the company needed more time for security. They said staff were told to highlight the size of the network rather than details of the technology. They said the core message was always to keep recruiting. Victims who spoke with investigators described the emotional impact of the experience. They said they trusted the company because the events created a strong sense of community. They felt inspired by stories of financial independence. Many said they believed they were doing something positive for their families. When the system began to show signs of strain, they felt confusion and shame. They said they did not understand how the promises could fail. Financial analysts built models to show how the system would collapse without constant recruitment. They said the company could only maintain the appearance of growth if new buyers continued to join. They added that token values could only rise if the company increased them internally. They found no evidence that real market forces supported the valuations. Journalists reached out to experts in cryptocurrency technology. These experts said a real digital currency required transparency. They said anyone should be able to view the blockchain. They said independent verification was essential. They pointed out that no such access existed for OneCoin. They said the company's model did not match accepted standards. Throughout 2017, the pressure around OneCoin increased. More regulators issued warnings. More victims filed complaints. More countries opened investigations. Yet, the company continued to host events and promote upcoming milestones. Many members said they believed the company was facing opposition because it threatened traditional finance. Investigators said this belief made it harder to warn people about the risks. Inside OneCoin leadership, discussions continued about how to maintain stability. Staff members worked to manage communication with top recruiters. They provided them with talking points. They asked them to reassure members. They said the future was bright. They said new launches were coming. They said everything remained on track. Investigators who reviewed these communications said they reflected a clear effort to maintain confidence. They found no evidence of real technological development behind the claims. They found only promotional messaging and internal adjustments to token values. This period marked the highest point of public enthusiasm and internal control. Crowds still gathered. Recruiters still sold packages. Victims still believed in future returns. Yet, evidence gathered by investigators showed a system that could not sustain itself. They knew the structure depended entirely on new buyers. They knew there was no real blockchain to support the coin. They knew the promotional claims did not align with the facts. The stage was now set for a dramatic turn. Investigators had built a foundation of evidence. Regulators had strengthened their alerts. Journalists had uncovered stories of victims across many countries. Internal documents showed how the system operated. Whistleblowers had described how values were assigned. Forensic analysts had found that no independent ledger existed. All signs pointed toward a collapse. Yet the most critical events had not yet unfolded. The leadership of OneCoin continued to present a strong public image. They held events. They made announcements. They promised new features. But behind the scenes, investigations were closing in. The pressure was rising. The structure that had grown so quickly was about to reach a breaking point. Chapter 3, The Collapse and the Vanishing Trail. By early 2017, investigators in several countries had compiled extensive evidence about the internal structure of OneCoin. They reviewed financial records, statements from victims, and data from seized servers. They saw how money had moved through accounts in different regions. They noted how token values were set inside the company rather than through any open market. They also examined communications that showed efforts to sustain recruitment during rising scrutiny. The weight of this material created the basis for coordinated action. Authorities prepared warrants and drafted requests for international cooperation. They tracked the movement of OneCoin leadership and monitored scheduled events. Their goal was to take action before more people invested. They coordinated with financial intelligence units and law enforcement agencies that had been receiving complaints. Their work focused on understanding the role of Ruja Ignatova and identifying the network of individuals who helped run the operation. Investigators retraced Ignatova's travel records. They found that she split time between Bulgaria, Germany, and other countries. They reviewed passenger lists, hotel records, and communication logs available through legal channels. They noted that she traveled with security and often used private accommodations. They documented meetings with top recruiters and internal staff. These details helped investigators construct the timeline leading to her disappearance. Throughout the first half of 2017, pressure continued to build around OneCoin. More victims reported difficulty accessing money. Some said they had been told to wait for new system upgrades. Others said they received messages encouraging patience until a long-promised exchange launched. Investigators knew this exchange had never been independently verified. They also knew that internal documents showed no meaningful progress toward a real trading platform. Inside OneCoin leadership, communication grew more controlled. Staff focused on maintaining public confidence. Internal messages urged top recruiters to stay calm and reassure their teams. They said critics were spreading misinformation. They said regulators misunderstood the company. They said challenges were temporary. Investigators later said these communications reflected a growing awareness of the risks facing the organization. The conditions surrounding Ignatova changed in the fall of 2017. Information shared across agencies showed that action was approaching. Authorities in several countries were preparing legal steps based on evidence gathered over the previous years. These steps included arrest warrants for individuals connected to OneCoin. They also included efforts to freeze assets and seize records. On 25 October 2017, Ignatova boarded a commercial flight from Sofia to Athens. This was the last confirmed sighting of her. Investigators reviewed airport records, surveillance logs, and passenger manifests. They confirmed that she used her passport to board the flight. After landing in Athens, she disappeared from public view. No verified documentation showed her movements after arrival. This moment marked the start of one of the most significant unsolved elements of the case. Authorities searched for information about her next steps. They interviewed associates. They reviewed digital communication patterns. They gathered intelligence from law enforcement partners in other countries. They did not find confirmed records of travel under her name. They examined the possibility that she used alternative identification. They checked hotels and transportation companies. They did not uncover a clear route. During this period, investigators pursued legal action against other individuals associated with OneCoin. Several people connected to the company faced charges in different countries. Some were arrested. Others cooperated with authorities. These cases focused on the financial structure of the organization, the flow of funds, and the misrepresentations made to buyers. Prosecutors built cases that showed how money was collected and distributed. They relied on records seized from offices and accounts. Investigators also evaluated property purchases linked to Ignatova. They examined real estate records in Europe and other regions. They looked at bank withdrawals and transfers traced through accounts. They found evidence of luxury properties and significant financial activity. They reviewed how funds moved in the months leading to her disappearance. They noted patterns that suggested preparation for departure. These findings became part of the broader effort to understand how she left the public stage. As investigators looked deeper, they focused on the possibility of support networks. They examined whether individuals helped her move after landing in Athens. They looked at communication logs. They collected statements from people who had been close to her. They received tips from different regions. None of the leads produced verified details of her location. Authorities continued to gather information, but no confirmed sighting emerged. During these years, agencies worked to inform the public about the case. They explained the risks faced by victims and the structure of the scheme. They clarified which parts of the case were proven. They distinguished between allegation and fact. They encouraged people to come forward if they had information. They continued to search for evidence that could help locate Ignatova. In 2022, the Federal Bureau of Investigation added her to its 10 most wanted list. This decision reflected the scale of the losses and the significance of the investigation. The notice included details of the charges against her and the last confirmed information about her movements. It encouraged the public to provide tips. The listing marked a major moment in the case, showing how seriously agencies viewed her disappearance. By this stage, the aftermath of the scheme had spread across many countries. Victims described financial hardship. Some had borrowed money to invest. Others had encouraged relatives to join. Many said they felt deep regret. Investigators worked to recover assets where possible. They pursued legal processes to seize funds tied to the operation. These efforts aimed to compensate victims, though the recovered amounts were limited compared to the scale of the losses. Courts reviewed evidence presented by prosecutors. Testimony from insiders helped clarify how the system operated. Forensic analysts explained how token values were set. They described the findings from seized servers. They showed how internal systems logged balances without any real blockchain. They detailed the roles of individuals who handled financial operations. This information helped resolve key questions about the internal mechanics of the organization. The wider financial community examined the case as an example of how fast-growing ventures could mislead buyers through strong marketing and controlled information. Experts said the scale of OneCoin demonstrated the importance of transparency in digital currencies. They noted that real cryptocurrencies relied on open verification. They said buyers needed to understand how technology worked before investing. They pointed to OneCoin as a case where lack of transparency enabled large-scale losses. Law enforcement agencies across several countries continued to investigate leads. They reviewed financial evidence that extended beyond the initial findings. They pursued individuals who had fled jurisdictions. They prepared cases that involved multiple defendants. They coordinated with international partners to track funds. Their work continued to reveal the global reach of the operation. The search for Ignatova remained a central part of the investigation. Authorities examined intelligence reports that suggested different possibilities. They reviewed claims that she might have received assistance from associates. They considered whether she might have changed her appearance or identity. They looked at travel routes that lacked strict documentation. None of these paths produced verified results. People familiar with the case said the absence of confirmed sightings made the investigation more complex. They said large sums of money could support long-term evasion. They said international networks created challenges in tracking movement. Yet investigators remained focused on gathering accurate information. They emphasized the need for confirmed facts rather than speculation. In the years that followed, additional legal actions continued. Several individuals connected to the scheme were prosecuted. Some received prison sentences after courts found they played key roles in the operation. Others cooperated and provided information that helped explain how the system functioned. These outcomes added to the factual record of the case and clarified responsibility among participants. Meanwhile, victims around the world continued to seek answers. Many joined public efforts requesting updates on investigations. They asked how asset recovery efforts were progressing. They asked whether more individuals would face charges. They asked whether new information about Ignatova had surfaced. Authorities responded with statements explaining which elements of the case were ongoing and which were complete. Financial regulators updated guidelines to warn buyers about high-pressure sales tactics in the cryptocurrency space. They pointed to the importance of independent verification. They encouraged people to research technology claims before investing. They emphasized that legitimate digital currencies required transparency. These guidelines became part of broader public education efforts. Despite years of investigation, many aspects of Ignatova's disappearance remained unclear. Authorities knew she boarded a flight from Sofia to Athens on 25 October 2017. They knew she did not appear in public after that. They knew financial activity linked to her stopped shortly after. They did not know where she went after landing. They did not know who assisted her. They did not know whether she remained in Europe or traveled elsewhere. The absence of clear answers made this one of the most unusual financial investigations of the decade. It combined a large-scale global scheme, significant financial losses, international prosecutions, and the sudden disappearance of the central figure. Investigators continued to search because unresolved questions remained. They worked through leads with caution. They verified details before adding them to the official record. The broader impact of the case reached far beyond financial markets. It influenced how countries approached digital asset regulation. It shaped public discussions about trust and information. It encouraged new frameworks for international cooperation. It provided lessons about how ambitious claims could mask internal realities. It also demonstrated how complex financial operations could cross borders quickly. As time passed, authorities maintained open channels for information related to the disappearance. They reminded the public that the case remained active. They provided updates when legal processes advanced. They continued asset recovery efforts. They worked with international partners to pursue individuals who had not yet faced charges. Chapter 3 closes with the case standing at a point where proven facts and unanswered questions coexist. The evidence revealed how money moved. It showed how the system operated. It identified individuals who played major roles. It documented the losses suffered by victims. Yet the central figure behind the operation remained missing. Her disappearance after landing in Athens on 25 October 2017 continued to shape the investigation. The aftermath of the scheme left lasting effects. Victims continued to seek restitution. Courts continued to evaluate evidence. Investigators continued to examine leads. Regulators continued to refine safeguards. The search for answers remained active. The story that began with bright promises in conference halls ended with unresolved questions that spanned continents.